Who am I? Baby photos. Most families have them, either proudly displayed in the living room or neatly filed in a photo album. For your parents, they're a precious reminder of your first years. But let's face it, for you, they're an embarrassment. It's hard to believe that chubby 4-month-old baby with a toothless smile is you. But what if that cute little baby isn't you at all? Whether or not the essential identity of something can persist through change has been a bone of contention among the world's philosophers for over 2,500 years. For ancient Greeks, such as Plato and Aristotle, the argument centred around the story of an old Athenian ship, which was thought to have once carried the mythical hero Theseus. As parts of the ship decayed over time, they were replaced by identical new parts. Eventually, none of the original parts were left. Was it still the ship of Theseus, the philosophers asked, or was it now a different ship? Aristotle believed that as long as the appearance of the ship had not been altered in any essential way, it was still the same ship. But some of his contemporaries argued that identity wasn't just skin deep. They said that at the end of the replacement process, the ship could not still be the ship of Theseus, because Theseus himself had never set foot on it. However, this raised another question. If it was no longer the ship of Theseus, at what point exactly had it been transformed into another ship? To put it another way, imagine the ship has 100 parts, and one part is substituted by a new one every year for 100 years. In year one, the ship will have one new part and 99 old parts. Is it possible to say at this point that the ship of Theseus has already ceased to exist? Answering yes would fly in the face of conventional thinking. We often mend objects, but we don't generally think that this alters their whole identity. But by year 51, 51 of the ship's parts will have been replaced, more than half. Some might feel at this point that the ship has become a new ship. But is this logical? It only contains one different part now to the year before. At no point in the process does the change seem large enough to justify a change of identity, yet a change does seem to have occurred. And of course, it's not just ships that this conundrum applies to. Like the ship of Theseus, the parts of your body are gradually but constantly being replaced. Every minute, about 96 million of your cells die, and another 96 million are created to take their place. Some types of cells, such as white blood cells, only remain in your body for a matter of days, while a few, such as those in your nerves and brain, will last your whole lifetime. On average, each cell in your body is replaced every 7 to 10 years. If you don't believe that a ship can retain its identity after most of its parts have been replaced, would you say the same of your own body? Some might argue that for humans, rather than an inanimate object like a ship, it isn't our physical body that determines our identity, but the thoughts and feelings we've evolved to experience. As the French philosopher Descartes famously said, "I think, therefore I am." Was he right? Science has progressed since Descartes' time, and now tells us that our thoughts and feelings are actually just the result of biochemical signals exchanged between neurons in our brains. If that's the case, then they are not distinct from our physical bodies at all. They're just a side product of physiological processes in it. And even if our identity did lie in our thoughts and feelings, they are constantly chopping and changing. Does that mean our identity is too? Perhaps memories can help us solve the conundrum of identity. Some memories do last a lifetime, and undoubtedly help us to create the story of who we are. However, a life story based on subjective memories can be a very inaccurate one. As individuals, we frequently remember things incompletely or wrongly. Many of our memories are discarded by our subconscious brain as soon as they stop being useful and are hardly ever restored. Should we allow ourselves to base our notion of personal identity on such unreliable evidence? Or should we shift our attention to our actions? Is it those that make us who we are? Aristotle supported this view, but again, it's controversial. Should our actions as young children be part of our identity, even though they were taken before we were able to make conscious, informed decisions? And what about people who have a criminal past but have later turned their life around? Should they be judged forever by their previous actions? The question, "Who am I?" is much harder to answer than it may first appear. Before we can even try to answer it, we need to refine it and decide which I we are actually talking about. Does it include the I that you were in the past, the I that you will be in the future, or is it just the I that you are today? Are you talking about your physical body, your thoughts and feelings, or the actions you have taken during the course of your life? After thousands of years of debate, philosophers may have enhanced our understanding of the issues surrounding identity, but make no bones about it, they are no nearer to agreeing what it is. On the positive side, though, it seems there's no need to let those embarrassing baby photos get under your skin. Just remember that according to most of the world's great thinkers, they're not really you at all.